Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, the drum.
Feeling nice today. It's kind of warm over here, but it's all right with me. hope you're all well out there, and blessings to all of you. As I was saying previously, it's Sundance season, so a lot of Sundance is going on still. I mean, a couple that I know for sure. And it's good power, you know, them songs and looking at the tree. It don't matter who's running the Sundance. It's the songs. And mostly, these are Lakota singers, so they got the songs down pretty good. And it's healing just to be there. The other thing is watching all the people that come and who participates. We can get mad and angry at a lot of people that show up, or Washita or whatever, that show up at Sundances. You know, and how sincere are they for being there, or what is their purpose for being there? But as quiet as it's kept, a lot of these Sundances are kept going by the Washita, you know, the money and all that. Everything they do to help keep the Sundances going, I've seen that, you know. But I'm not going to talk about criticizing the Sundance. I'm just happy that our people are having Sundances on the res. When they're off the res, I kind of, it's kind of difficult for me to accept it, because I know most of them that are ran off the res, they're not that tree's not respected after the Sundance is over, or the area where the Sundance was, you know. On the res, these Sundance grounds are still under care and supervision by Lakota people. And you can go there, and most of the time the tree's still there. You can go pray. Our people can go take offerings and everything, you know. And I want to thank all my bros and sisters and relatives who showed up to participate as Sundancers and pray for the people and the sacrifice for them, you know. I really appreciate what they do, the commitment they make, and everything at the Sundance. And I was looking at some different articles on I feel like I have to sneeze. Anyway. A lot of things are happened. Let me hold on here just a second. Let me do that again. Excuse me. You know, one Sundance I went to, like 4 miles of dirt road, dusty road. I had to breathe a lot of dirt to get there and a lot of dirt to leave, you know. So I think I still have some in my chest. But everything's all right. And last week, you know, I was talking about the Crow Dog Sundance last week, and a lot of things changed real quick just after his Sundance left. You know, it's like how you build up to something powerful, and then next thing it stops. You have to get used to that again. A couple things I talked about last week, and I was hoping to remember them this week. See, what was it? Oh, right now, you know, one thing, it's election season. And I was going to say, every year or every 2 or 3 or 4 years here in this country, there's an election season. And we got to hear these people come up and talk about these listen to their promises. You know, in my old age, I haven't heard nothing new that a politician says. They're all the same every time he speaks. Even tribal elections, you know. I'm going to honor the treaties. I'm going to honor this. I'm going to honor that, you know, but they don't honor nothing. I'm going to bring jobs. I'm going to bring this. I'm going to bring that, but they don't bring nothing. For 50 years, they didn't bring nothing but say the same thing, you know. The only thing they do bring is always that American flag. They bring that all the time. They honor the people, the veterans, more than they honor the people. They honor the people that fought for them in their wars more than they honor the people that live on these reservations that maybe even raised those guys to go help the Wasichu. You know? They ignore our people. You know, our people, all our people are entitled to land by the tribes, by the government. But I'll say 3/4 of every tribe, there's people that don't have land. They're living in housing, and they don't know how to acquire the land because the government, like, keeps that a secret. They don't want us to get land. And then some of us do have land, but that's all leased out. We don't get no money. We don't see nothing from it. Then they call it heirship land. Anyway, politicians, they say the same damn thing all the time, every time. I just wonder if there's somebody out there that could think of something that is important and work on something that is important, you know? I just wonder that. By the way, I'm sipping some iced tea as I'm talking. Or if you're drinking cold water, that's good. Miniwi Choni. And then these American politicians, they're that much more bullshitters. My first speeches I ever heard from growing up was Kennedy, Nixon. You know, people always hold Kennedy real high when Kennedy is the one, the person who started the Lake Ojai, Missouri River, and kicking the Indians off the banks and running them off and burning their houses so they don't come back. And since that time, they killed him, what, 1963? It's that end of things. Almost 60 years ago. Okay, so for 60 years since he was there, it's the same old thing. They still got our land. They got more. They still violate our rights. They still take away more rights. They still racist to us. And they're good at getting other races of people to join in on their racist of us, you know. Even, you know, black people make fun of us. Even Mexicans make fun of us, and they're supposed to be indigenous. People come from foreign nations, come over this country and live, and ignore the whole entire government's treatment of us. They join in on the government's treatment of us. Matter of fact, they know they shouldn't be buying up land because it don't belong to the government, but they're still buying it from the government. They're still supporting the government. And some of them will stand with the white man all day long when it comes to some. You don't see them over here helping our people fight against this oil and trying to protect the water. You don't see that. So anyway, those politicians, I don't like to hear them. And I don't know why anybody supports, like, these AIM guys who was out there trying to get us to join in with them for Biden and Harris and trying to throw you on a guilt trip about Trump. I mean, when Obama did just as bad as Trump, you know, they're all the same. It doesn't matter who's more racist, because Trump's an out front racist, an out front idiot. Does that make Obama better? Does that make George Bush better, Clinton, or any of the rest? Hell no, they're all the same. Biden, look at him. Biden's doing a lot of wicked stuff as we speak, and already returning his backtracking on his promises he made to people. And, you know, we got to wait. We have tribal elections going, and then we pretty soon they'll be back running for midterm elections. And you hear the same baloney, you know. You hear it off, all of this. Another thing I was going to talk about, you know, I seen a crazy post on Facebook. You know, some guy said, for your information, the Cleveland Indians were originally called the Cleveland Spiders until they chose to honor the first Native Americans to play professional baseball. Until they chose to honor, his name was Louis Sock Alexis of the Penobscot tribe. I don't know how to pronounce that. For the record, he was thrilled with honor. Louis was also approved of the character of his face with one feather. That was a character of his face, was one feather, that racist-looking Indian that they showed on the Cleveland Indians. Oh, and then it says, haters will keep hating. You look at a lot of the acts, a lot of the posts, and you see people, they're happy to hear that shit, you know? They're happy if somebody could plant something in them to dispute what we all think about it. Okay, what if they did name this Cleveland Indians after Louis Sock Alexis? What if they did? Does that make it a better name just because of him? Just because of one Indian? It's like, when these Indians carry the American flag, is that flag better just because they carry it? No. And plus, if he was playing for the Washichu and joined in with them, can you imagine how many years of rubbing shoulders he did with them? You know? I mean, I tell you what, yeah. Some of these guys bring name to Native Americans, you know, Billy Mills, Jim Thorpe, and stuff like that. And some of them, I do honor them. But I also, what I do look at is how do they live and are they real Indians? Yeah, maybe they were born on the res. But you look at Billy Mills. That guy don't live on the res. He lives in Sacramento. If you talk to Billy Mills, you know, he don't act like no Indian. He acts like a white boy. We used to sell firewood to him, you know. And tried to get, he did do some good stuff. He was involved in some things called Running Strong for America because some people put him in that spot. But, you know, he did bring some water and stuff to some lucky Indians. And I'm not going to lie, I was one of the lucky Indians. You know, but overall, you know, am I gonna because I get a favor from somebody, I'm gonna change my view of what purpose they served, and I'm not gonna sit here bashing Billy Mills, but I'm using him as an example of how our people's name get used for the good of the American. What's that guy's name that the big alcoholic that died in Phoenix, you know, or in Arizona, and he's one of the guys who lifted that flag up in Iwo Jima? Why do I have all these brainwashes? Brain locks. Anyway, it's right at the tip of my tongue. But anyway, you see what I'm saying. Is, yeah, and you can attack me if you want and say, yeah, but I don't think I want to, I would honor this Louis Sacolexis for playing on the tribe, or playing on the baseball team. I would honor him for that. Say, yeah, that's good, you're a good athlete. But to give him credit for something effed up, and to be used for the white man's racism? Nah, I ain't gonna do that. So, oh, let me see here. Looks like Phillip's here, so I'm gonna turn Phillip on with that one. Also, Jennifer's here. I'm gonna turn her on too. Not, you know. Okay, Philip, jump in on it. Did you hear me? Whoops, I guess he's snoozing again without the snores this time.
No, I had it on mute. Hey, everybody, it's Phil Yenyo from the American Indian Movement of Ohio. You know, I'm glad that you brought that up about that post, because I made a comment on it, and well, I tried to make a comment on the actual post. It was somebody else that shared it that I saw, and they had tagged me, another person had tagged me in a comment, and so this man is a supposedly an educator. And I'm going to read
what
to you.
What man are you talking about?
The guy that originally posted that. His name.
Okay.
Let's see where.
You're talking about that Tom McFarland?
Yeah. This is what I sent to Mr. McFarland. I said, your post about Louis Sacolexis is a lie. I personally spent time in the Cleveland Public Library investigating this fairy tale. The articles are on microfiche from the five daily newspapers of the time, 1914 and 1915. Not one newspaper had a story about honoring him by naming the team like they did. In fact, they published racist cartoons of indigenous people in baseball uniforms They also reported how he was treated while on the field by the fans. The fans honored him by throwing beer bottles at him and yelled racist remarks at him during games. As an educator, one would expect you to seriously do your research before posting fake news. I also suggest that you need to read the book Lies My Teacher Taught Me. Also, since you don't allow anyone to comment on this post, go ahead and screenshot this message and share it with your friends that think they know something about this. And I haven't seen anything back from that, and I haven't gotten a response to this. But the guy is supposedly an educator. He's actually a teacher. Now, see, this is the kind of crap that we're talking about, truth and education. This guy was going ahead and telling other people's lies.
Let's dwell on this a little, but let's take it a step at a time so we don't pass over issues of it. One thing, you mentioned something, and one thing is, let's go back to using his face for that thing, that red Indian face. I mean, how does that red Indian face resemble this guy? They call that red face. They call that red face honoring this guy.
Yeah, it doesn't resemble Mr. Cyclexus at all. At all.
Uh-huh.
So where they get this from, I don't know. Him saying that he liked it, that's also a lie. Let's put it this way. The man was from the Penobscot Nation, okay? His own nephew, great-nephew, had received a check in the mail from former owner Dick Jacobs. He sent us a copy of the letter, which I wish I still had it. The check was for him to come and corroborate the story and say that it was okay because, you know, they opened up the new baseball field and now where it's positioned, everybody could see the demonstrations that have been going on since the 60s. So they wanted to try to legitimize the name, and they came up with this fabricated story. The response that Michael Sokolexis sent to Dick Jacobs was a torn-up check and a letter stating to him that this did not honor his relative, that it was because of the way he was treated here. A man that had never touched alcohol in his life became an alcoholic. And one night when he was drunk, he jumped out of, I think it was a second-story window, messed up his leg. So he missed part of a season. I mean, they think that, you know, this is just nothing to name a team that, or to shout racial slurs or war whoop at him while he's out in the baseball diamond, you know. These are actual facts that were written in the newspapers, actual stories of how he was treated. So they honored him so much that they just berated him as a human being. Come on. It's a farce. But they want to continue to perpetuate this and perpetuate this lie. Bob DiBiasio, the person that was in charge of promotions for the baseball team, they want to continue to promote this Italian man's lies. Then they even tried saying that the team was named during a contest. The fans named it. That's not true. The newspapers had called for suggestions. They never said anything about a contest. And one would think, just using common sense, that if somebody won a contest to name a Major League Baseball team, everybody in the world would know, or everyone in the baseball world would know this person's name, and nobody does. So their stories fall apart all the time. That's what happens with lies. The stories fall apart when presented with facts and evidence.
Yeah. You see what gets me is at least, I mean, it's proven that he's native, but there's other people that try to claim native ancestry on professional baseball and other things, and they found out that it was baloney. And I see that happening nowadays. You know, everybody's saying they're part Cherokee and all this stuff. We got an Indian astronaut or stuff like that, you know. I don't care about all that, you know, because, like I said, they use us, use our people to justify their racism and everything else and to act like they're not racist. And I guess that's my point. This poor guy, of course, you know, I can imagine the racism he went through just to be those FE, you know. I wasn't there, I don't know, but I know racism. I was in the Marine Corps. That was the most racist organization I ever went in. And I can't imagine that I was the only Indian to be in the Marine Corps that was treated like shit. I can't imagine that. When they used to say, goddamn Indian, right in front of the white recruits and stuff, making me look like a, you know. And,
yep.
So I can imagine how it is to be Indian involved in something the white man's doing. The white man is always going to be racist to you no matter what. Anyway, the thing about it is, like I mentioned earlier about Billy Mills, about things, when you know, it's like they quit being Indians. I mean, you go join the white man and do things in his field, and then later on quit being an Indian or start being a white man. I mean, that's something that bothers me all the time. When, like, you get a good Indian kid and becomes a cop, and later on he becomes a better white man as white man cop, but then he quits being Indian. And it's hard to get involved in their life without them corrupting your or stealing your soul. You know, like Billy Mills, you know. He was a champion, you know, won the Olympics. And all this, but what does he get out of it besides having the name and trying to make us all look better because he did that? But when you see how he lives, you see how he looks, you see how he dresses, you know, he's not Indian no more. And this influence that they give our people is something. I seen an Indian running for become a president of the tribe. Next thing, he's got a suit on and, you know, trying to look like some white boys. You know, why can't fame and fortune help you preserve your culture more than it does? I was looking at this guy. He was born in October, and he lived to December of 1913. just, they call him the Deerfoot of the Diamond. But they don't say nothing about him. I was looking at his Wikipedia. They don't talk about naming the Cleveland Indians after him, you know? They don't say nothing about that. They call it the Cleveland, what, Spiders? Yeah,
Back then
Spiders.
They were the Cleveland Spiders, yeah. Before they changed their name to the Indians, it was the Cleveland Naps.
The Maps? Naps? What's
yeah,
that?
Naps.
What kind of word is that?
N-A-P-S. It was a nickname for their manager player, Napoleon Lijoway.
Uh-huh.
So they just shortened his first name of Napoleon to Naps.
And right away they point out his alcoholism.
Yeah, yeah. That's ridiculous.
You know, when a white man when a white man drinks alcohol, they don't call it. When a white man drinks alcohol, they don't call it alcoholism. You know, the white man is the greatest alcoholic on earth. They can go to the store. I watch them walk out of the store. Yesterday, I watched them. They had an RV at the market at the store. I went to the store and I seen them chopping cart, filling that RV up with beer and drinks, you know. If an Indian did that, boy, they'd really be talking shit about him. I seen women, white women, pushing carts out of the store with beer, you know. And look, they sell it openly over there in the city. They're the greatest alcoholics. But when the Indian is caught drinking it, he's an alcoholic, a drunk. But they do the same stuff, you know. It's really messed up how they do stuff. But is this, I was looking, remember last week you had your friend on?
Oh, yeah, it's this way.
Yeah, I'm going to turn his line on, see if he wants to get involved in this one, you know, about who's an alcoholic and who's not, you know, and how the white...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I definitely can. The other thing is how the white man uses people of color to parade, you know, to parade in public, saying, look what we got here. You know, I even heard them. Like, I got a recording of the father here talking at a meeting of employees at a employee meeting down here. And he made an Indian a vice president of the maintenance shop. And he said, this is my little Indian. You know what I mean? You see? And and his little Indian was all proud of that. You know? I tried to sue the Catholics, but that's another subject. But you see, what I'm saying is they got a good habit of parading people around. They did that to Obama. Look at how they paraded Obama. And people still parade him around, you know? You know, when you look at, I don't know what, how do you say her name again?
Kamala?
No. Say it again.
Kamala Harris?
No, I'm talking about you. How do you say your name?
Oh, me.
Yeah.
Zizwe.
Zigizwe?
Zizwe. That's close enough.
Okay. No, I don't want to, you know. I mean, anyway, I don't want to call you Kamala. I'm just teasing.
I don't want to called her because she's one of those people who you're talking about that they use and parade around like Obama, and they're happy because they feel like, oh, I'm the big-time house Negro now. And I told you last time, you know, they when they first stole the land from the Native people and they brought us over here, they used our people against Native people, and they've been doing it ever since, parading us around like we're so happy to be in the master's house. Yes. And Malcolm X has a speech. It's called The House Negro and the Field Negro. Are you familiar with that one?
I love Malcolm X, you know.
So,
like Kamala
same
Harris.
Same thing happens to
Kamala Harris, remember, what's her name, that Hawaiian senator? She, Tulsi Gabbard, man, she pointed out Kamala Harris's, how she was smoking dope, but at the same time sending people up for it, you know, and laughing about it, you know. And, you know, that's what cost her to lose her bid for the presidency, but Biden whipped her back in the picture, you know, because she did do a lot of things. She concealed evidence on the guy on death row. She, you know, and like I said, she was, you know, a pothead, like nothing wrong with it, but then locking people up for something you're doing, you know. But here she's back in the picture.
So Biden just used her. Biden used her to make it look like he's progressive. And you see his cabinet. He got Kamala Harris. He got the lady in charge of the interior. What's her name? Debbie Holland. He got some gay people on there.
He got a transgender.
Yeah. Yeah, he got the whole Rainbow Nation in his cabinet.
Yeah.
They still got the same policies, though, right?
Exactly, and I was talking about that. You know, I've been around
bombing people everywhere,
and when
putting sanctions on people.
For 50 years, I've been hearing these politicians make promises. Kennedy, Nixon, you know, I mean, I was born when Truman was president. You know. But I don't remember Truman. I remember Eisenhower. But Kennedy's the first one caught my attention, and Nixon, and hearing how they all talk, all the promises, the big American. And then to this day, they're all the same. You know, even Trump, they're all the same. I don't put one of them worse than Trump. You know, I don't care what anybody says. Trump was out front racist. And these other ones were closet racists or whatever. And I look at that video when Russell Means was talking in Congress that time. And they showing the face of them congressmen looking at them. Every one of them looked like they had their whole arm up their ass, you know. And they didn't care what he had to say. And he pointed out some really interesting facts. How every time they present a law that's against us, we adapt to that law, and then they make another one worse, you know, and we adapt to that because we adapt to everything they do. And that's where we're at today. And it's going to keep being that way. The whole, you know, like using this guy, putting this Facebook post, you know, using him to make it sound like they named the Cleveland Indians after this poor drunk Indian, you know, that's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
You know, to parade our people around like that. I mean, and doing that to Billy Mills and, you know, now Jim Thorpe, you know, You know, I don't
know
about Jim Thorpe.
You see how they did Jesse Owens, right?
Yeah, Jesse Owens, you know.
I was the same high school as he did.
You know what? Martin Luther King is lucky. He got, hit before he, these modern times, because they'd be talking to him like Bill Cosby, you know? That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. They want to put smut. I don't like what they did to Bill Cosby. I don't care what anybody says, you know? I call it like I see it. That was racism, you know, having some ugly white woman with bath soap showing up at his door, champagne and all that, and then 15 years or 10 years later accusing him of something. I mean, she looked like a man herself. And I can't believe how right away poor old guy's a perf, you know? Looking at men in general, what do you do when you're someplace and the women are showing up with bath soap and all that at your door, you know, and acting really nice, you know?
You gotta run from them.
Yeah, that's what we do now. And that's another point.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays I feel bad because I cruise by two-stripe over here. And there's always women walking on the highway. Nobody picks them up no more because of all this. Nobody wants to pick these women up and help them no more because of all this. Sometimes I want to stop. One time I did pick up a woman, and I got dialed up my brother on the phone and talked to him until I dropped that girl off.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm picking up because I pitied her, you know. I don't want no trouble. But that's what these white women did with that Me Too movement or whatever they call it. You know? Yeah.
That's right.
Big deal. Sure. I don't like rapists either. You know what I mean? I support them against rapists. I don't like pedophiles either. But damn, when you're going up, bringing up lies and becoming so powerful, you know, that everything you say, you know, makes the whole country change their way. So you don't want to pick up no poor women that need help. You don't want to help them out no more. And I see that, you know, they're walking down the road. Nobody's helping them. That's what they started. And that's a shame, you know. And
can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know the story of Emmett Till.
I don't know.
Whistling at a white woman. Yeah.
Man.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Woman.
I think I heard that once.
Yeah, back in 1955. And ever since they brought us here, and I'm sure it's the same thing happened with indigenous people, you get lynched if you say something to a white woman. The white woman will make up a story. Say, he raped me. You ain't got to touch him. Just be close to him. You get in trouble. So this has happened through the whole history of this country where these white women use their privileged status. You know what they call them now? They call them Karens now.
Yeah.
Because, like the woman in New York had her dog, and this one African, he was bird watching.
Bird watching.
Right, and the dog was off the leash, and he just asked her to put the dog on the leash. She called police and said, and this black man here is threatening me, so. And the police came so fast.
Yep.
You know, that's like Richard Pryor used to tell a joke about that long ago. If you say, five black men raping a white woman, police would get here so fast, ready to crack your head.
Like in Rapid City, this car stopped at a stop sign, And then the guy was trying to figure where to go, but he took too long there. And the cop said that was he called in. There's a Native American looking in a nice, I guess a Beamer or maybe it was something, a Mercedes. So he got approval to go jam this guy up. And there, when he got there, some well-to-do looking Asian guy got out of the car. So then they said, oh, okay, no problem. But when the Indian was in it, you know, that was a different trip. And that happened to me, you know.
You mentioned Asian people. You know, this is the anniversary. Yesterday was the anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah. Now that was a wicked deal there. Killing innocent people. This country did that. These Americans, the ones that fly that red, white, and blue flag, they did that.
Yeah.
You know? And what gets me is Japanese people suck their ass today. You know? I mean, I don't know about, I see some of my people sucking their ass, you know? It bothers me. But I damn sure ain't doing it. You know what I mean? I damn sure ain't going to do that after knowing what they did to my people, you know? And the same way I will say about black people. How could you suck the white man's ass after all of that? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, we have to survive in this society. Sure we do.
Yeah.
But can't we do it without sucking their ass? You know?
Well, they brainwash us when we're little children. They, you know what they teach you in school? I'm sure they taught you in school. George Washington never told a lie. You know, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. The brainwash starts early, very, very early. You know,
honest, you mean Honest Abe?
Yeah, Honest Abe. You know, Stokely Carmichael used to tell us, he said, they don't lie some of the time, they lie all of the time.
Yeah.
The only time they tell the truth is as a result of a double lie. So,
Remember Clinton said he took a toke, but he didn't inhale. And, you know,
but he didn't inhale.
If you can tell a stupid lie like that, then you know you know that's your nature. You know, he said, I did not have sex with that woman, but the description was he was curved to the right. You know, he had one of those curved to the right deals. You know, and he was you know, but you see, that's how they are. They lie. Just like everybody knows Trump's a liar. We all know he's a liar. He gets right out in public lies, but he ain't the only one.
Nope,
you know,
all of them.
They're all out there lying.
Including Obama. You know what Obama lied about, right? He lied about Gaddafi. He lied about so many. You know, in Flint, Michigan, with that water situation, the water is so dirty in Flint, he went up there and drank a cup of water and said, see, ain't nothing wrong with this water.
You know,
straight lie.
And, you know, we live in a difficult society, and they're always trying to find a way to get back what we point out to against them. You know, like putting this Native American guy, saying Native Cleveland Indians is named after him. You know, you know, and I was talking about Ira Hayes. How they flaunted his name around, but he died an alcoholic. They didn't do nothing to help him out or help him get through his ordeal, you know. The one thing about their society, it's alcohol. So if you become rich or get something going and start hanging out with them and go down their house, they're going to start pouring you some drinks. Because that's how they are, you know?
Yeah.
And we ain't got no business getting involved with them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
because I've been to white people's house and I seen they had those beer there and arts, whiskey and all them drinks and giving people. And I said, man, I don't, you don't need to give me none of that. And then they all laugh and look at me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know?
Yeah.
We ain't got
business. You ever see all those liquor companies when they started? 1700s, 1600s? That was because when they enslaved Africans, they had us raising sugar cane in the Caribbean after they wiped out the Taino and the Arawak. We grew all their sugar canes for them to make rum. The oldest rum company, the oldest liquor companies got started when they had us raising that sugar cane so they could make it. And they used it against all the people they could, the indigenous people, as a weapon. Like they used drugs, disease, and guns to destabilize the people. And so that's what they did with the alcohol.
And then, calling this poor Indian an alcoholic, you know.
They were the first ones. They used to get drunk so much in Europe, and that's what they had us working for, to get them that alcohol made and ship it to Europe from Jamaica or other Caribbean islands.
You know, before Columbus came, there wasn't a drunk Indian on Earth.
I believe it.
About 500-odd years ago, not a drunk Indian on Earth. Because, you know, and now, you know, look at some of them are, and now they're into everything else, you know. I feel bad for our people because a drunk driver killed a good friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and he worked and it was his own nephew that killed him. His own nephew was coming from one side. Yeah. His own nephew was driving from one side of the highway, heading west, and he was going east and came up the hill, and his nephew was drunk. You know, it just was a coincidence. It was his nephew. But hit him head on and killed him and his 70-year-old Lakota man passenger. Our people, you know, alcohol is a bad deal for us, you know, and I understand that. And we do have a lot of sobriety, though. It's just never, we don't get acknowledgement for that. But not all Indians are into alcohol, like they say. But, you know, our people, we ain't got no business trying to be like them. You know, it's, you know. And
what do we have to do to stop being part of their messy society and being like them?
Well, you know, it's like for my people, and we're a small race according to their statistics, there's only less than 5 million Indians that they will acknowledge, and there's probably a million more than that, you know, people not enrolled or nothing. But to get their attention, to get them away from being what they are, we gotta quit getting involved in what they do. In other words, what would it be like if no blacks, no Indians even voted for them?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Then they would probably have some easy elections, but then just the rich ones would survive. But if our peoples quit supporting them the way we do, and joining their military too. That's another thing. You know,
yeah.
Being involved in their militaries, being involved in their governments, we can survive
right.
without that. You know, our people know how to horse trade. We know how to. You look at Russians. They have their own economy. You can throw all the sanctions you want against Russia, but they got their own economy. No matter what people think, them Russians live without American aid and don't give a shit about American aid. So there's no way to really hurt them people.
Yeah.
Our people, we act like we got to do everything they give us. We can still have vehicles, you know, we can still have everything. We just don't need to get involved in their shit. And if we did that, right away they would notice it. You know? Right away they would notice it. But
they say our vote is what made Biden get in office. And I agree with you. I think we should boycott everything. So every time they have an election, even when Kennedy got elected, if you remember, between Kennedy and Nixon, they were so close, and they said that the black people in America made the difference in that election, even back as far back as 1960.
Well, that election boiled down to what I talked about last week, you know, when I was talking about the smile, you know. Kennedy had a better smile than Nixon. That's what got him. That's why people went for Kennedy. You know, they didn't, you know, Kennedy had a better smile and looked like
he was young.
Somebody that, he was young and looked like he would do something for you. But like I said,
yeah.
Kennedy ran all the Indians off the Missouri River and built Lake Ojai, you know? And nobody knows that.
Right?
He ran.
They
kept running the Indians off the Missouri River. And after he'd run them off, they would come back home. So the only way to stop them was he ordered them to burn their homes down so they had nothing to come back to.
You mean John F. Kennedy did that?
Yeah, John F. Kennedy did that.
What the so-called?
He built Lake Ojai on the Missouri River that goes up by Fort Thompson all the way up to North Dakota.
Wow. And
you
everybody
know?
Cried when he got assassinated. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I thought he was supposed to be the best Camelot and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, that's what people say. You know? And that's why Obama and somebody, Clinton and them, were trying to fit in his category. But you see, the Kennedys, I mean, you know, some of them, they did have a little different attitude towards racism. Like Robert Kennedy Jr. came down and had sweat lodges up here with Lakota people.
Okay.
You know, but that don't change nothing. You know, one good white man don't change 200 million white men. You know,
that's right. The whole system. Right.
It's like one guy carries that American flag don't make that American flag better. You know,
the whole system is right.
It's got to be more than that. And like Biden, when you look at just look at his everyday actions that he's going through now, how he's backtracking on a bunch of things he said. And the easiest way to maintain support with his people is to get tough on Russia, you know, get tough on Venezuela,
yes.
You know,
get tough on
and
Cuba.
Then, yeah, get tough on Cuba. And, you know, and act like he's tough on them. But you know what?
Yeah.
Really, if it came down to it, he wouldn't bust the grape. Because
you're right. You're so right.
Because you know what? If there was a big, massive war today, a really get-down war, the U.S. damn sure wouldn't win it, even against China or Russia. You know?
Right.
The reason why, I'll tell you why, you know, and maybe the CIA won't like what I say, but over here in this country, they got all their military bases. They call it Fort Campbell, Fort this, Fort that, Fort
yeah.
blah, 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 Fort, you know. And so the whole world knows where their forts are. Just, you know what I mean? But you go to Russia, you don't know where the hell their military bases are at all. You know? You know, their military bases are like towns. They're not bases. They look like towns. You drive through them. Then you look and you see some places where there's military vehicles. Well, how come all these military vehicles? This is a military base. It looks like a damn town to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing. That's just one thing. There's no way to find where their bases are and stuff. Here's the other thing about this country. Look at New York. Because this country, everybody's actually homeless. You know? That's why they live in New York City. Because they have no place else to live. Because they don't own shit.
Mm-hmm.
So if it comes down to a big war, a nuclear war or something, you can't get these people out of New York in 3 hours.
Oh, no.
They're stuck. These big cities, people don't even know where to go in 3 hours.
No.
But
they're not prepared.
Every Friday night in Moscow, people leave Moscow. They do it every weekend and go out to their countries and different places, you know. Every they go out to their dachas or their what do you call it, you know. And they know. They leave Moscow, 10 million people leave Moscow every Friday night. Then they come back to work Monday or Tuesday. They know how to leave town is my point.
Yeah.
Because they're not homeless.
Didn't they start practicing this like when the Cuban Missile Crisis happened? When the U.S. had threatened to bomb Russia? About putting nuclear missiles in Cuba?
Yeah, kind of, you know, but the thing is, the Russians are like that anyway because they're home. When you have your own home, your own country, you're not homeless and stuck in a place. You see,
This
country is a country of homeless people. They just don't know it. You know,
mm-hmm.
Trump is homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Trump thinks he's home because he's got a mansion on stolen land. They're still homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Where else could he go without getting ass kicking? You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know? The New York City, Chicago, all these people don't know where to go in an emergency because they have no place to go. Because they're homeless, you know? But Indians, we're not homeless. If I'm in New York and some shit's going to hit the fan, I'm going to haul ass back to the res. Or if I don't come to the res, I got family relatives living in other reservations or something, you know? We're not homeless. When you're in your own country, you're not homeless.
Right.
And same way with those China, you know?
Yes. Yes.
You know, they got a Chinese-speaking president, Chinese judges, Chinese cops, Chinese everything. But over here,
mm-hmm.
this country has white cops, white judges, white prosecutors, white everything, and they don't belong here, but they're running this country and then got us talking white English, you know? That's why in a real emergency, this country can't handle it. So they bluff the whole world. And they make themselves tough by bombing small nations and get away with it.
Yes.
You know, bombing Syria, bombing Iraq, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, pick on the small guy and act bully
with him. You know what? You know what I think? They like the schoolyard bully, so to speak, going around beating up on people who they know they can beat, the small, weak. And what's going to happen, I think, is that the nations of the world are going to have to gang up on them, just like you do a bully.
Well,
you know?
That's what's the bad thing, what's coming to the American. Because the American don't know how to take that. Like this, like that Amber Geiger, she just got her 10-year prison sentence.
Right.
She tried to appeal. Her appeal got rejected. And she cried like a baby. She can't handle that. They can't handle when they lose shit. That's why they jump off buildings and hang themselves, you know? They can't handle this. You know, the thing about my people, and I would probably say the same with black people, we can be high on the hog one day, you know?
Uh-huh.
And walk out bare ass the next day and just keep and probably joke about it, you know. Oh, damn, man, what happened to my car? Got to get another one, you know. See, what happened to my Cadillac? You know, got to get another one, you know.
Yeah.
But they can't handle that. To them, when they got $10,000 in the bank, they're broke. Us, we're broke right this minute, you know. I mean. You know, I'm doing damn good. I'm doing damn good. I got $23 in my account, you know. So I'm doing good, but that $23 going to be gone tomorrow.
Well, you know, the Great Depression, they were jumping out the windows and stuff. And America looks like it's falling apart from its own internal contradictions, you know. And I think the same kind of thing is going to happen even worse. Even if the people, like other countries around the world, ain't going to have to attack America. And I think that the Russians and Chinese are playing the waiting game because America's, the empire is falling apart, basically. And they know it. So that's why they attack small countries. Like, look at what's going on in Afghanistan. You know, they had to pull out after 20 years. Just like they did in Vietnam and these other places. And that's going to hurt them inside really, really bad. So I see them falling apart in the next few years.
And they're so full of shit, you know. You can't, you know, okay, go ahead and lie to me for 500 years. But you know what?
Yeah.
It's still, after a while, no one believes your bullshit. And you know, nobody believes him. You know, I was listening to some foreign leader. He said, man, you can't make no deals with them Americans. Every 4 years,
right,
they're changing their rules. You know, and he's right. You know, how do you make deals with people? Another thing is, you know, like I seen this video of a cop. They checked the car for drugs, and then he killed over and he overdosed from just touching some fentanyl. You know,
I said,
that's a bunch of bullshit. I said, what a bullshit story, you know. And he's really playing the part, too, you know. He really acting like he's down. Well, now they're saying that was a fake, you know. Expert says he was a fake, you know.
Wow.
So, you know, there's so much bullshit to the people and bullshit you know, yeah, they bullshit our people every day. You
right.
know, they bullshit about, they make stuff up. They still got Leonard Peltier locked up, you know,
right.
with the bullshit that they got on him.
Right.
You know, and it's a shame. It's a shame that Obama didn't see that. Or he seen it, but he was scared, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a shame that this guy's a native of this country and the rest of the society are letting him do that to someone they should call an American, you know, since they call everybody
yeah.
Americans. Why treat an American like that, you know? But
yeah, well, you're right.
You
Obama was scared because his bosses told him, you better not do it or we'll blow your head off to him. Like they did John F.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yep.
you know, he only do certain, whatever the boss tells him. That's why they invaded Libya, because they wanted to make sure that they wanted to make an example out of Obama by having him attack other people of African descent. And sure enough, Hillary Clinton was the one who was the main one telling him, look, we need to go and invade. We need to go and bomb Libya. And so he went and told him, like, did you hear about how he, his greatest regret was what he did in Libya? Did you hear about that?
Well, yeah. Well, you know what? That was a bunch of baloney doing that to Gaddafi. You know, Gaddafi was no threat. Gaddafi,
mm-hmm.
you know, was humble. He even paid for that airline getting blowed up. He didn't need to do that, you know?
Right, right.
He was trying to feel for the people, but he didn't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been an asshole all the way through. But Gaddafi took care of his people.
Right.
But he wanted to get rid of the American dollar.
That's
know?
Right.
You
Saddam
know?
Hussein did too. He wanted to get rid of the U.S. dollar. So there you see it's a pattern.
Yeah.
You know, and those folks who try to get rid of the U.S. dollar, they decide they have to go in full force and get rid of them because they want to keep the U.S. dollar strong. But now they can't do that to China because China's too big. And Russia, they formed an alliance, you know, the BRICS alliance. And recently Russia dumped all the U.S. dollars that they had into the international market. So,
yeah, because they got their own money system, you know.
Right.
And the American dollars, these Americans just print them every day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can do that, you know.
Yeah.
Just print money that and make people think it's worth something, you know. I mean, I'll spend it, mm-hmm. some of the else will. But mm-hmm. the point is, you know, if other countries quit accepting that dollar, then they're up shit creek. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They're up shit creek. They need to, you know, it's like I said, if to me, when these leaders, when a leader says he loves the people and you want to be a world leader, then that means you should love the world. You know, not
mm-hmm.
just America,
mm-hmm.
you know, like they say, they sing about America, the beautiful, or God bless America.
Oh,
what a shame.
God is
only going to bless America.
Mm-hmm.
No, God is the one who made all of humanity. You know, he ain't going to just bless them, and he ain't going to let their prayers to whip somebody, give them a prayer to whip somebody else's ass, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, it's kind of God bless America and people go for that, you know. But if you're a real spiritual person, you know, you can just laugh at that, you know. But but the American, if we start knowing too much, they'll come knock you out the box. You know what I mean? They talk about Putin and other countries, how they say they kill their opponents. Man, this country been doing that for a long time.
They're the masters at it, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. They get rid of anybody and make it look like an accident, you know?
Yeah.
Kennedy's the only one they got rid of and didn't make it look like an accident. But a whole bunch of the other ones they got rid of made it look like they got sick and died naturally or whatever or
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. And
mm-hmm.
And then you get to ones like Dick Cheney had 50 different heart transplants and still running around, you know.
He's still
you
living?
Know? I don't know if he is. Maybe he did die, but some of them I don't
died.
Even
one of them. One of them guys died recently.
That was Donald Rumsfeld.
Rumsfeld, yeah.
Donald,
okay.
Yeah, Rumsfeld died, and he was one of those guys that had him bomb kill all them Iraqis. You know?
Yeah.
And because George Bush said that Saddam Hussein insulted his dad. You know?
Saddam wanted to change from the U.S. dollar for oil. You know, the international oil market is based on the U.S. dollar. He wanted to change it to the euro. So I think that's when they decided, we sick of him. We got to get rid of him.
Yeah, so the good question is, how do we go on from here? How do we do it? To me,
yes.
We got to quit supporting their government. And our people need to go out on their own and start working with other countries on their own. And telling these other countries, look, we're not like these people, you know? Just like that's what America does. America put Karzai or whatever, the leader of Afghanistan, when they started bombing
yes.
it, how they
yes.
did Iraq, how they do these regime changes, you
yes.
know? Well, they do it, you know, really slick. Regime change. Well, can do the same. All we got to do is go to other countries and tell them, hey, quit acknowledging these people. They're not our leaders.
Yeah.
You know, acknowledge us.
Yeah.
We're the legitimate owners of this land. We're the legitimate first peoples of this land. Or,
right.
or, you know, or something. You know, these other countries need to quit supporting those people. They got to quit being fooled by them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can do it to, if this country can do it to other countries, to these small countries, the same thing can happen to them. One day someone's going to show up and say, you know what, we're not acknowledging you. You know, we're acknowledging this person, so get the hell out of there. You know, they're trying to do that to that Guaido down in Venezuela. They even took
yes.
Venezuelan money and going to give it to Guaido. When Guaido was one
yes.
of these guys that paraded in Congress as a pseudo, you know?
Yes, that's right. They stole the gold
they
from
do
Venezuela.
That.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. I guess
so,
what you could say is there's some thieving mall falls, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know what they do? They lie. They say, well, they're killing their own people. Or they got a dictatorship. And they tell so many lies before they go in and invade, you know.
But they starve a country, then blame it on the leader of the country.
Right.
They starved
right.
the Indians and blamed Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse for it. Or Red Cloud, you know. They starve the people.
That.
You know? They starve mm-hmm. the people and blame their leader for starving, you know?
Yeah.
And now this is modern times, so they do that to North Korea, Syria,
yep.
trying to
yep.
do it to Russia
right.
and
right.
trying to do it to China, throw something on China. China they're trying to do this, you know? And But some places don't work. You know, it don't work in Russia, don't work in China. And
that's right.
And it's all talk.
Too big.
Yeah, we got sanctions on them. Them Russians don't give a rat's ass about sanctions. I tell you that. And neither do the Chinese. You know? But China is already starting to put a little paint on the U.S. farmers, you know?
Right.
And that's
right.
What's going to hurt this country.
Right.
By putting
that's
some
right.
paint on these farmers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they can afford to do it. They took their business elsewhere,
yes.
you know? And, like, India did the same thing. They said, you know what? You guys don't want to help us, so we're going to work with China. We're going to get China to fund this, you
that's
know?
Right.
So that's how
right.
it happens. So, you know, I'm an old guy. I may never see what's going to come. Phillip's kind of still young a little bit. Maybe it would happen in his – I don't know. He ain't got that much longer either. You know?
Hey, Phil, my man Phil, how you doing?
You got to wake him up. He sometimes snores.
No, my throat's a little it's a little sore. I'm doing
what's
all
up,
right.
Phil?
Just a little tired because working all week down in Georgia in that heat was just crazy. Yeah, I wanted to touch base a little bit on that, too, where I actually was down there, northwest corner of Georgia. On my way home, I realized, well, actually on the way down there, I realized that I was on some of the Trails of Tears. And a lot of the routes that I was taking were actually historical roundup routes. They were routes that they would go from village to village rounding up the Cherokee. It was really interesting to know that I was down
you know,
there in the heart of
they got all those that information out, you know, like you said, they have these sites where they did that. But yet, the people that lived there don't think nothing of it.
Oh no, they
you know?
Don't. They didn't. They don't even realize. You know, they all looked at me like, "What's this guy? Where's he from?" You know, I don't know. It's a different world down there. They're oblivious to their own history down there.
But they're like that all over. They know. It's like you said, they know they all bombed Hiroshima the other day. You think they give a rat's ass about killing those babies and women? They don't.
Mm-hmm.
To them, we whipped their ass. That's how they think of it, you know. We whipped their ass that day, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how they think of it. When they, like that one guy said, they took our land. They got our land from us on the battlefield. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
how they think about all this evil stuff they did. We whipped their ass, and the other Americans are proud of that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they don't look at it.
That's their excuse. We want it fair and square. What the hell is so fair and square about you people having muskets and shit, and all we got is bows and arrows. Or they're attacking villages of people that you know, certain nations that what they did was agriculture. They weren't, you know, warring nations.
Did you see how they were attacking the Palestinians, those Israeli people?
Yeah.
And the Palestinians were using slingshots. All they had was slingshots fighting back, you know, fighting back against missiles and everything else, you know, slingshots, throwing rocks.
Well,
you know?
You know, Israel is trying to drag America into a war over there if y'all heard lately, they bombed, what did they bomb, Lebanon? And, you know, the whole thing about the oil tanker. They try to blame that on Iran getting attacked. And then now they're saying, well, somebody in Lebanon that did it. And they're trying their best to drag America in there. So the only reason why they was able to get the Palestinians to that point was because the British had colonized the area and destroyed the people's ability to defend themselves. And then, of course, the United Nations, the U.S. and all of them helped destroy the Palestinian people to the point where in 1948 they let all them fake Jews come down there and take the land.
Well, they can accuse, call anybody guilty of something and the world believes it, you know. So, you know, a country like Iran, they can't defend themselves because the minute they say they did it, the whole world, every white person over here believes it, you know?
Propaganda machine.
Everybody believes it. They say, and then call someone a liar. What cracked me up is two white boys killed a cop in Italy. You know, they killed a cop in Italy, stabbed him to death. And right away, Americans were saying they're getting treated bad. You know, those kids that kill a cop. Over here, if you kill a cop, you're a cop killer. Nobody wants to support you. But if a white kid goes to another country and kills a cop over there, you know, now he's getting treated bad, you know. And then look how they've got Leonard Peltier over here.
That's a shame.
So
that's a real,
you know, and you know what? I seen a lot of people in prison for stuff they didn't do or stuff they shouldn't even be there for.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I told you, I mentioned this on before and I don't have a lot of time. Let me see. But, what happened was this guy wrote Ronald Reagan a letter, you know, an Indian guy wrote Ronald Reagan a letter, a naive Indian guy, you know, kind of, you know, naive to the system. He said, if you keep on doing this, this could happen. You know, he's using hypotheticals. What could happen? You know, you do this and maybe that bridge is going to fall apart. If you do that, this could happen.
Yeah.
So they sent the FBI over and told him, did you write this letter? He said, yeah, I wrote it. He didn't think he did nothing wrong. Okay. And his wife was giving them coffee and cookies while they were talking, you know. And here, a month later, 4 o'clock in the morning, the SWAT team came, busted his door open, and hauled him out. Shit, they should have just hauled him out when he was drinking, when they were taking his coffee and cookies, instead of coming back in the night like that. But that's what they did. And they gave him 50 years for that letter.
Wow.
You know?
One letter.
Yeah.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, and there's
the
Indians.
Locked up in some of these guys who got locked up. This one guy had some marijuana. He'd been in jail for at least 20 years. And now they got these big companies, white-owned companies, just selling it.
Yep.
But they got all these people in jail for.
Kamala Harris put them in her. Harris put them in. You know, the system is wicked for people of color, black people, Indians. There's so many people in prison for stuff they didn't do. And then sometimes they go in, they're innocent, but while they're in there, they end up defending themselves and stab somebody, so now they are guilty. You know? There's a lot of people in prison for stuff they didn't do or really minor charges. You know, like when an Indian steals a car on the res, it's a federal crime.
Mm-hmm.
But if he steals a car up in Rapid City, it's called joyriding.
Mm.
But you steal a car on the res, it's federal crime. You get 15 years, 10, 15 years, you know,
and
go to federal prison. Yeah, so when and then when he goes to prison, you know, here he's a good-looking Indian with long hair, and then somebody wants to bully him. So he goes and does something in there, and then he gets life for doing something in there. You know, one of my little bros that I supported went to prison for something he didn't do, and while he was in there, he got a bunch of time. You know?
They say you got to defend yourself. A lot of the prisons don't rehabilitate people. And, you know, prison is an industry in itself, especially now where they get private corporations. What's that one company that owns so many prisons? And they got a quota that they force on the states that you got to give us X amount of prisoners. They had the nerve to even have one situation where they sued the state because they didn't provide enough prisoners.
You ever heard of Federal Prison Industries, Unicor Federal Prison Industries?
Yes, yes, yes.
They're in every federal prison.
Yeah.
And these inmates are doing big-time work for society for 20 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have, like Terre Haute, Indiana, has a textile mill where they make army blankets for the entire world. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know what army blankets go for right now, but back in the day, they were going for $18 a piece. And they
mm-hmm.
were sending millions of them out. Big-time business. And these inmates that were doing this, getting 20 cents an hour. That's just one example. They make postal bags for the post office. They make parts for satellites that are all these millions of satellites they send out in space. Those are inmates making them. You know?
Wow.
And they
did you hear how, you know, they charge the inmates what, $3 a minute a phone call?
Yeah.
So, what's his name? Dan Gilbert. Phil, are you there? I think Dan Gilbert, he owns the Detroit basketball team. So somebody was talking about how his new draft pick they got, he need to call them out for that. They charge these inmates $3 per call to call family members. But they, like you say, they pay 20 cents an hour. And then you got the guys out west fighting those fires.
Yep.
All those forest fires.
Big time.
How much do they make? Dollars?
They don't get that much, you know. They just get a healthy canteen list, you know. But some of them even die fighting those fires.
Right.
You know. You know, getting back to what we were talking about, how do we be a part of making change?
Mm-hmm.
How can we do that? And there, to me, I don't see there's no benefit in supporting them. You know, we need to deal with our people so they can survive better some kind of way.
Yeah.
So our kids don't need to join their military to survive, you know. So,
yes,
you know, we need to stop putting those, like I said, it don't matter what color ankles are in them boots, it's still a white man's army.
That's the worst thing you could do,
support,
is join the army.
Yeah, because those guns you hold for them are pointing back at us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And same way with the police force. Same way with everything.
Right.
You know, our
That's
people
right.
need to
That's
quit
right.
supporting them. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do that's not a shame on your own people. We need attorneys, doctors, you know. We need, you know, our people. There's so many fields that we need our people to join in on, you know. Politics ain't one of them. The military ain't one either.
Right, right.
Let them go. Let their recruiters go around and into white societies and recruit their people, since they're the ones benefit off the military. You know, let them fight their own wars, because our people is never gonna benefit out of their war. Never. You know what I mean?
Yep.
There's
if we withdraw from participating in all the things they do, and then, you know, we got to eat, of course, and have our own food and everything, don't you think that they'll try to intervene like they always do? Try to sanction people, try to starve us like they did the Native people, like you were talking about earlier. Those folks who didn't go to the reservation like they wanted to, they starve them to death.
Well, so the leaders, what they'll do is start locking up the leaders who are making our people like me and you.
Right, right.
They'll start locking some people up, taking their freedom away and making them quit, you know, doing this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they'll fight it. They'll start locking people up, using the banks to take away their homes, using banks to take
right.
their cars away. That's how they'll fight it. They'll fight
what
it by.
Do?
So it's like anything else. There's a lot. Some people got to sacrifice, but I don't see a lot of sacrificing if you just start doing it without them noticing it. You know, by the time they notice it, it might be too late. Don't go run around bragging not to. Don't go run around promoting not to join the military. But kind of get your people not to support it, you know. Support these things.
Yeah.
And,
we got those Uncle Toms. And those, what do you all call them, apples, or hang around the 40s?
Yeah.
Who go run and tell Massa.
Yep. They're there, and they're always going to be there.
Right.
But, you know, our young ones that we're raising right now are the key, you know?
Yes.
You know, those old Uncle Toms and those apples and all that.
Yeah.
You know, we can't do nothing about them. And they're running rampant, you know, like over here on our reservations, these apples. And I hate to always say this, but mixed breeds, you know. I mean, it's really touchy subject, but that's the other way they get our people, you know. They come over and rape, take our women, you know, and have kids, and that's how a lot of these white guys own land. They went and had kids from Indian women, then ran the Indian women off, and their kids got access to the land.
Yes.
You know? There's a bunch of them that did that and do that to this day. All the land, you go on, come to an Indian reservation, and look at all the major land and go see who's living there, and it'll shock the hell out of you. You don't see no full bloods there. you know.
Wow, I didn't know it was like that.
Yeah. Like south of where I live, all white people, nice farms. It's on Indian land, though. Nice farms, big machinery. And I was in a winter a couple weeks ago to get my registration for one of my vehicles. And when I was in there, this white guy was there, and that lady behind the counter asked that white guy, "You got your tribal card?" He said, "Yeah." He whipped out a tribal card. And he is whiter than hell.
Hmm.
You see, because by having the tribal card, like, he don't have to pay the taxes.
Okay.
So, like me, to register my vehicle, it cost me, like, $70-$80. But if I wasn't an Indian, it would cost me $160 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving us a little credit. But like I said, here's a guy whiter than hell. Said, you got your tribal card? He said, "You betcha." He whipped one out, and I said, "Damn, look at this." You know?
Wow.
You know? You know, and you can't beat that.
Yeah.
And the minute we start complaining about it, then we're racist. Then we're against the half breed. Then we're against, you know, then we're fighting with each other.
Yeah.
You know. But that's what they do. You know, that's why, you know, we talk about one of my bros was on this show, but it's spiritual season, he's Sundance and all that. But he talks about descendants of Custer. Mm-hmm. We got descendants of Custer living on these reservations.
Yeah, wow.
And they don't think they don't think like us. So they're the ones running the tribal government. You go come to a tribal council meeting and walk in there.
Yeah.
You don't see no Indian-looking people on there. Maybe a couple. You go walk in the U.S. Post Office and see who's working in there. You don't see no Indians in there.
Okay.
You know? It's really messed up. So... we're in one hell of a battle, you know.
Right. You're right about that.
And the same thing with black people.
You're right.
You know, you look at the millionaire black people in this country. Are they helping Flint, Michigan? Look at Floyd Mayweather. That guy's man throwing money around in the bars. You know, that guy could buy Flint, Michigan, Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Look at Oprah.
Yeah.
You know? She sent $500 million to Africa. Well, that's good. But she got that $500 million living on Indian land. And the thing about it, why didn't she give $500 million to Flint, Michigan, or wherever there is black poverty? You know?
Yeah. Well, you know why she did that, though, in South Africa? Because Mandela was her friend, and those schools are failing. So, you know, it's like in the scriptures of, let's see, how's it go? I mean, you could throw money at a problem and make yourself look good, and that's what she was doing. You know? So,
you know,
what those people who got all that money do. They throw a few million out there and make themselves look good. Just like, what's those rich guy, George Soros? You know, he donated, they say he donated to Black Lives Matter, gave him a lot of money and stuff. Make himself look good, but he really don't give a rat's behind about our people.
And where's that, how's that helping Black Lives Matter help the rest of the people?
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm glad that Black Lives Matter brought attention to people to get like Chauvin convicted and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah.
It took something big and big like that, you know. But sometimes something gets supported so much with money, then they forget about the people, you know.
Right.
And our tribe gets money by using our enrollment numbers. And we still live like crap,
mm-hmm.
you know. But they get money every month for the government and different things by using our numbers. But still, our people can't get decent housing, you know.
So, what we used to call them poverty pimps.
Yep, poverty pimps.
That's all they are. In the system, that's what they'll do. They'll put a few people up there and say, look, you can be like Oprah or you could be like Deb Haaland. If you try hard enough, you can make it in this system. So they use them as,
Let me see who's on this other line. Who's on the 720 line?
That's me. Whoops.
Oh,
hello.
You're back. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I know we're running out of time, but I did want to hear from you of something, you know?
Oh, I'm having troubles with my phone. It died for a minute there.
Oh.
It's on the line now, so it's okay.
Uh-huh.
I've been listening. It's great PowerPoint, so a lot of different ways that the government is attacking our people. And it doesn't stop there with just the politics. It keeps on going into the spiritual. And what's scary is to me is that the spiritual genocide that's going on, especially with the Black of Maine, because the Vatican had wanted to ordain Nicholas Black Elk into sainthood. And I find that very insulting because there was an article I was reading that they had taken some quotes from Native Lakota priests in Rapid City area and different places where they were saying that our people would it would be a big deal for the Native people here, one of our own being recognized as a saint in the church.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
I totally disagree with that, and I've encountered ministries like in Scott's Bluff where they pointed out that my great-grandpappy was a Catholic, too. Well, I have to remind people that the era that they were kind of forced to, otherwise they would get their rations taken away. But he also knew it was an empty religion. But he just played along with the game just to keep survival. But what's unique about all of that, what he had to do for survival, I have two children that are his great-great-great lineage offspring that are carrying on the traditional ways. They know nothing about the church. So whatever that the government always tries to do in deteriorating our culture in any form, we come back stronger. And so I just look at it that way.
You know, one of our persons in the chat, he's one of my black bros, you know, from Virginia. Here's what he said. He said, they say that there are 7.674 billion people on this planet. Whoops, Philip's snoring. I mean, there are 7.674 billion people on this planet. He said the Wasichu worldwide are less than 10% of the world population. Wow. He said there are more people that are Asian natives, Spanish-speaking natives, African and Polynesians on this planet that are not Wasichu. He said white Europeans, he says. If we are only as a collective of non-white people would wake up at the same time to destroy white supremacy. And he's right, absolutely right. You know?
Yep.
Just wake up. You know, just wake up. One day, just sit down. You know? Just sit down or all stand up, however you want to do it. But quit serving them. You know? If there's only 10% of them people, then why is 90% of the world serving them, you know, at their feet? And I thank you that for Matomani for saying that, my black bro, for pointing stuff out. Sometimes he comes on the radio show and I really would like him to be on. But you see, and that's like what Jennifer was saying, you know, we need to need to quit having them. He said he calls himself the Virginia Beach Hassapa listening. And a Hassapa means black man, you know. It's nothing racist, you know. And I like that about him. He acknowledges that word. But we're going to have to head out here right now. But I wanted to say, you know, thank you for joining in with this Zichi Guka. Guka.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come on your show.
Well, I hope you keep coming back. And Jennifer, thank you because, you know, Jennifer Blackout is the one you heard, Chaguka. And her grandpa, the white man, wrote books about, famous books about her grandpa, Black Elk Speaks. And sometimes people want to twist the meaning of this, and she objects to a lot of that, and I appreciate that because I believe her, and I see what I say, and I know that ain't true. When they come write books about our people, they always switch it around sometimes, and it ain't the truth.
Yeah.
Especially when our people are speaking another language. You know, our people are speaking our language. How do you interpret into English, you know, in a right way? But they try to do that to everything. And
well, we have to combat the lies. We have to build an army to defeat the lies they're telling. Because, you know, the German propaganda minister said, tell a lie 1,000 times and the people believe it. And Colonel Gaddafi said, tell one truth and you smash 1,000 lies.
Yeah. And I like what
thank you.
My bro said.
Thank you, Phil.
You know,
Phil's doing, but I thank Phil also.
Yeah. Yeah, working hard down there. And but
right.
That's a good point. 10% of the world population is the Wasichu. And 90% lets them push us all around. Huh. Ain't that something? And with that, I'll let everything go. And it's an honor to have you all on. And we better go and let Philip hit the hay, you know. Doksha ke, everybody.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, a victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. Through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, oh, oh. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. The never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free.